Charles Francis Adams continuously sent messages to the British government saying, look, we know what's going on in the Laird shipyards, and we protest. We want you to stop the construction of these vessels that are obviously meant for Confederate service. We will consider this an act very much against the interests of the United States. Finally, as construction went forward and forward, Adams sent on September 5th, 1863, a warning to Lord Russell, a very famous message, which said that if the rams were allowed to leave British ports, and I'll quote Adams here, it would be superfluous in me to point out to your lordship that this is war. Well, that seems to be a very stirring message, and at one time it was thought that that message actually forced the British to back away from allowing the Laird rams to be built. But in fact, this tough message turned out to be unnecessary, because 2 days before Adams sent it, the British had decided to seize the rams. The Confederacy was very upset at the decision and, in fact, expelled British diplomats from the South and ordered James Mason to go from London to Paris. All hope of help from Britain was dead. The British government turned these two rams into HMS Scorpion and HMS Wyvern, and they had a sort of mundane career, each of the vessels, down through the end of the 19th century. Let's move away from Britain now, and for our last topic in this lecture, take up French relations with the United States, especially French relations as complicated by French actions in Mexico. There was some chance, some slim chance, I think, that France might have recognized the Confederacy as a result of the Mexican adventure of the French government in the early 1860s. France and Britain and Spain had sent troops to Mexico in the early 60s to collect debts owed by Mexico to European creditors. Britain and Spain then withdrew, but Napoleon III kept his French forces in Mexico and eventually reinforced them to a total of 35,000 men in 1863. These French troops took Mexico City and overthrew the government of Benito Juarez in June of 1863. Napoleon III then arranged for the Austrian Archduke Ferdinand Maximilian, to be the emperor of Mexico. The Confederacy went to Maximilian and said, listen, we will recognize your regime in Mexico, this French puppet regime in Mexico, if France will recognize the Confederacy. Maximilian seemed friendly to the Confederacy and probably made some effort in the Confederacy's behalf in this regard. But Napoleon III, who was personally very pro-Southern, I think, stopped short of ever agreeing to this kind of a deal. He toyed with the Confederates, really. It would seem that Napoleon III was about to extend recognition, and then he would pull back. Long before the end of the war, it was clear that France was unwilling to risk war with the United States by recognizing the Confederacy. Lincoln worried about it, however, if you'll remember, in the wake of the Vicksburg campaign, when the North debated how best to pursue a strategy following the capture of Vicksburg, Lincoln had argued for the Trans-Mississippi in part because he wanted the United States military to have a presence in Texas that would send a message to the French, who were then in the midst of this intrigue in Mexico. At the end of the war, the United States sent about 50,000 troops to the Mexican border, a very strong gesture to the French. Napoleon, in the end, recalled his troops. Maximilian, who I think was working with very limited candle power mentally, decided that he would stay on. He thought the Mexican people loved him as their leader. Well, they loved him enough to execute him in 1867, and that was the end of this whole French adventure. I believe that two principal factors ensured that the North would win the diplomatic struggle during the war. As I said earlier, I think the more important of the two is the failure of the Confederacy to string enough victories together in Virginia. And the other key factor was the Emancipation Proclamation. The North suffered temporary setbacks, I think had several close calls. but the Lincoln government clearly had the better of this duel on the diplomatic front. Well, we will leave foreign affairs with this lecture, and next time we will turn to the first of a pair of lectures on the African-American experience in the North and the South during the war.